Hey everybody, this is Terry Miller from Kind of a Big Deal Podcast. And guess what? I'm excited to tell you. Pride Month is celebrated every June in tribute to those involved in the Stonewall riots. And we're getting ready to dust off our rainbow flags, douse ourselves in glitter, and go join in the fun. With parades, festivals, and concerts going on across the globe, there's always some way for you to get involved, as well as learn more important things about social history along the way. And I'm here to announce it is time for another Pridecast event, and we're releasing it in June for Pride Month. So tune in on June 8th for Pridecast 21 to get your best drag on and let your rainbow flag fly. Cause bitches, we are turning it up. Bye.
On this episode of Kind of a Big Deal Podcast, we check in with a very special guest, Vendasia Vu, plus much more. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Miller, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Doug Parks.
Hello, hello.
And the new member of our family, Mr. Craig Lux.
Hey, everybody.
And this week, we have a very special guest from my second home, Tennessee, and that is Miss Vendasia Vu.
Hi, everybody.
So, how have you been?
I've been actually doing really, really good. How have you all been?
Pretty good. I've been well myself.
Yeah, you saw me last night, girl.
Yeah, me and Gianna just wrapped up a show last night. We were exhausted.
So, by the way, I need to petition an idea for new beginnings with the drag shows, because I'm in Pennsylvania and I would really like to see the drag shows. So can we petition the idea to do like a live, like have a camera and it's live and then you pay to watch it?
See, I believe that we've done that in the past, like post, like, well, not post, like right whenever Rona had like started, we had did a live show like on Facebook. And it was just free, and we did it on the New Beginnings page. And it got really popular for a while. But as, like, the time trickled down, and I guess, like, as drag shows on Facebook and on electronic devices became more popular, I guess people kind of got a little more weary of it. Because, like, it started out, like, there was one time, I remember the first time we ever did a live show there, it was, like, 2,000 people watching on the page. It was insane.
Wow.
And then I think the last time we did a live show there, there was, like, 45 people. So, I sadly think that, like, people got tired of the whole live drag idea real quick. Hmm. Especially, like, here in, like, this part of Tennessee.
Well, maybe they missed the whole being in the scene type thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely a contact person.
Yeah, but they like being out amongst the queens and talking and actually seeing them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can understand that and see that. I mean, it's a completely different experience being there and watching it.
Yeah, that's like when I go down to visit and I go see the shows. It means so much more to me for that little bit of time I get them. You know, if I lived down there and saw it all the time, it might become something that I'm just used to, you know. But mm-hmm. now it actually mm-hmm. means something when I see you all perform, and I love it.
Aw, that's sweet.
So, I don't actually have the show notes up, so if you could please, Doug.
Yeah, there's questionnaire. You want to see them?
Questionnaire. We have a questionnaire.
Ooh.
So, first I wanted to start off by talking a little bit about Queens of Filth.
Absolutely.
So we actually have a an appointment scheduled with Joshua Ricker to talk to him about Queens of Filth, and he's going to have his co-creator on with us. So I just wanted to bring it up because I seen your episode, which was episode 4, which was amazing, by the way.
Thank you. And
I just wanted to kind of ask, like, what was that experience like?
The experience, honestly, was absolutely fantastic, but it was also a super duper big learning curve for me. Joshua had approached me with the idea, and like I had always like hinted towards Joshua, like I can't lie and be like, "Ooh, Joshua asked you." No. I constantly admired the series, and I was always like, hey, you know, if you ever need a new Queens of Filth, like, I would love if you have any open. And, like, me and Joshua had been becoming closer and closer, like, working in photo shoots. And he finally messaged me, and he gave me the opportunity, and I was thrilled. And so whenever we got there, I had did, like, this full-blown, like, demonic, enchantress, like witchy look that like my eyes were blacked out, my cheeks were blacked out. I'd have like these contacts and stuff. It was insane. And as I go back and I look, I realized that like I painted a lot for stage and not for the camera. So that was a big learning curve for me. But then as the time goes, and what a lot of people don't know, and probably like the most like about the experience is how you listen to the song. One time I did Come Little Children by Clovis May, absolutely a fantastic artist. During that song, I actually performed that song for the video there as we were filming. I performed that song 8 times.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, oof.
Just to get like different takes of it.
Yeah, so, like, there was one part where, like, they had me in a field, like, at the one part towards the very beginning where, like, you see me, like, walking, I had to do the song there twice, and then I had, as soon as we got that shot over, then I had to sit down in the middle of the field with, like, the stage where, like, I hear the baby crying and stuff, and then I had to do the song there again. So, like, it's a lot of repetition, but the final outcome is so worth it.
So that
it was an amazing video.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say, is like it was gorgeously shot, and it kind of took you into this whole different world. And like the part that really got me was the part when you started like rubbing the blood on you. I was like, oh, this is so demonic. I love it.
I've always one of my drag persona, Vandasia, I always like to say that she is very vain-based. Like, she always loves, like, makeup. She always loves looking pretty. If my makeup's off one night, like, right before I'm going to go on stage, and if I'm not too happy with my makeup, you can tell it. Makeup is one of my, like, big confidence things when it comes to drag. So if I'm having an off day, you know, like, you can immediately tell that. So, with me being an energetic person, I channeled, like, through that, like, with acting and stuff. Like, when I'm rubbing the blood all over me, it's kind of like an American Horror Story scene. It, like, the blood's making me more youthful, you know, baby's blood.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely seen that. I got that vibe. But the thing about, like, the video was, and I stumbled across it, so, like, I've noticed, like, I get random friend requests from people, and Josh was actually somebody that was friends with some of the queens that I follow, like Nova, Stella, yourself, Gianna. So I was like, oh, cool. And then, like, I had seen on his page, like, he does makeup things. And so, like, I started watching those. So then I friended him. And I chat with him quite frequently. Then he had shared Queens of Filth with me. And I was like, this is amazing. And I've seen all of them so far that he has had out. And it's just, it's very beautifully shot and created. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So let's reverse roles here. Minus my video, which one did you like? Which one were you very fond of? Minus mine.
I kind of like the siren one.
My good old best friend, Nebula Majors. That's actually my roommate.
Awesome. I really liked that one too. Like, besides yours, I really liked that one. Just the way that it was shot and stuff. It was really beautifully done.
It was fantastic, definitely.
So, while we're on the topic of being queens and whether we're filthy or not, how did you come up with your drag name?
So, my drag name, I've always had a love for, like, being on stage, being, like, music. I've always, growing up, I sang in church. I traveled a lot with theater whenever I was younger. And I was very, very blessed. But then as I got older, I stopped traveling, and I wanted to focus more on school. A lot of my grades were declining, honestly. So it was really time to, like, focus, graduate, and really get those dreams set in lock, if you know what I mean. So as time progressed on, I remember, like, I got a job at McDonald's. Right when I was 17, I got a job at McDonald's, and I became a shift manager there for about 3 years. And I was in the drive-thru one day, and it was super-duper, boring. There was no cars coming through. It was just one of those dead days. And so I remember looking at the Spanish out of boredom on the drink machine that makes the drinks for the drive-thru. And I seen the word bandeja, B-A-N-D-E-J-A. And I was like, ooh, bandeja. I kind of like that. But at the same time, like, my white self was like, ooh, I like that name, Bandeja. So I kind of, like, added the English flair to it. And I called my friend Kiana West. I was like, hey, what do you think about the name Bandeja as maybe like a drag persona? And over the phone, it kind of sounded like Vandeja, V-A-N-D-E-J-A. So I was like, oh, no, Bandeja, like with a B. And she said, ew, no, say it with a V. It sounds so much better. So I was like, oh, okay. I kind of like Bandeja better versus Bandeja. Because, like, over the phone, they're kind of tricky to decipher.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, a couple days later, I remember, like, we were just brainstorming ideas. Because I was like, I need a last name. I don't want to be just one name. I want a last name. But I'm like, how can we tie it in? Because I wanted a name that nobody had and it could just, like, roll off your tongue. So I was like, how could we, like, incorporate something maybe, like, witchy? Because, like, I'm very spiritual. I love a lot of, like, witch-based stuff. I love moons, crystals, all that. So she looked at me and she was like, what about vu? Like, deja vu. And you're like, you can play that up with, like, beauty. You can play that up with, like, transformation. And I was like, Vandeja vu. You know what? That sticks. We'll go with that. We'll stick with her. And there the monster was born.
Oh, and a beautiful monster it is.
Thank you.
I love it. I think it's a very creative name. And it's a name that you can't forget. Like, there's some drag names, like it, like on Drag Race, like Heidi Ann Closet. Like, Rue gave her so much crap about her drag name, but it stuck, and like people remembered it.
Exactly. Like she got a lot of like smack during that time, but like I really have a lot of respect for her. Just like sticking through that. And we actually, fun fact, we actually worked together whenever I was 18 years old at Chemistry in Greensboro, North Carolina. Shockingly, and I didn't know that until just recently. I was scrolling through my phone and I seen an old flyer from like 3 years ago. And I was like, oh, snap, I was there with her. Pre-Drag Race.
That's cool. That's, you know, it's a small world out there.
Yeah, but we didn't talk that much. She had her own friend group there, and I was the out of town girl. I introduced myself. You know, it wasn't all.
So, staying on the subject of drag for one more talking topic here. So I hear that you are one that loves to snatch crowns.
Ooh, never one.
I may have a few.
A few. Do you have them like displayed in your house?
My house that I live in is actually very small, and I'm working on getting my own apartment this summer. And they'll definitely be displayed beautifully then. But right now, they have their own tote underneath my bed, so I can't break them because I am super duper clumsy and I will trip over a cordless phone.
So, how has that experience been with snatching those crowns, and what have you snatched crowns for?
Definitely the experience, not gonna lie, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done. A lot of times people make drag. They're like, oh, you just dress up like a girl, you dance and you twirl. Oh, that ain't nothing. You need to get a real job. People don't understand that like drag and like the entertainment industry is so much harder than people make it out. And like, Gianna, feel free to chime in. Like, Gianna, well, you go, everybody.
You go on stage and dance for 5 minutes to somebody else's song. It's not easy, girl.
No, like, seriously. But the experience definitely has been hard. It's learning. I always say 2019, I learned more in 2019 than I did in my entire life. Like, that 1 year, I learned more about myself, my drag, other people. I learned so much more about that. And I would definitely say pageantry continued to that learning. One of my first crowns that I was very lucky to capture was Miss East Tennessee in Johnson City, Tennessee at New Beginnings. That was a newcomer pageant. Me and Miss Gianna competed alongside each other.
Yes, ma'am.
That was one of my first ones. And I would definitely say I was very lucky. I did an old school drag mix that I had always admired. And my second one that I had done was Smoky Mountain. And those two are always going to be extremely important to me because in East Tennessee, that was my very first pageant, like I was saying, and I got my notes. And me being a theater person and like theater nerd, all that jazz, I was like, okay, I need to take my notes, apply it to my package, upgrade myself, and make it even better. So I really took those notes personally, improved my package, and went to the next pageant, which, like I said, was Miss Smoky Mountain, and that was in Sevierville, Tennessee, good old Dolly Parton's home state.
Love me some Dolly Parton.
Oh, girl, who don't love? She's one of my biggest inspirations. But I went there, and then I was very, very blessed. I was able to capture that title, too. It was about 4 months after East Tennessee. And once again, Miss Gianna was in that talent also. Well, it wasn't a talent. It was my presentation. The theme of the pageant was Seven Deadly Sins. And I had got, I believe, the sin of, like, when Eve was in the garden. And so I, of course, had, like, this snake skin catsuit on, this, like, big updo on, And, like, I was portraying the snake that had tricked Eve in the garden, and, well, Miss Gianna was my Eve. So as Gianna bit the apple, it went into Anaconda, and it was literally the snake trying to teach Eve how to twerk and be nasty and cheat on her man.
That was a fun time.
That was a blast. And so I was very lucky. I won, me and Gianna both got presentation, and so I was very, very happy about that. And then I won the pageant that night.
And we learned it 5 minutes before the pageant.
Girl, we did not even rehearse it because drag queens. If any of the drag queen is listening out there, you just know. If you are a drag queen, you just know how it comes when it comes to practicing things. You have your friends who you trust, and you're like, hey, you're talented. I'm putting my faith in you. I trust you. Do what we do best. Let's go out there and let's entertain. And that trust was in Gianna, 100%. Because I knew that she, I'm like, girl, if Gianna messes up, I know she'll fix it.
Yeah.
So then after that one, we went to Miss Spotlight Newcomer, and that was about a month later. I was in a pageant kick. I wanted all of them. So I was like, ooh, I need them. I need them. I'm hungry now. I'm real hungry. I had two of them.
It was really your first pageant season, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That was my very first in 2019. Yeah. So then I had Miss Spotlight Newcomer in Asheville, North Carolina at Scandals. And I did my Stevie Nicks presentation. I did pretty much my same dance mix that I had did at East Tennessee. And I had backup dancers. We all had coordinating costumes, all that jazz, pretty much that. And I was very lucky and very blessed to capture that title, too. Whew. And then that was those three. And then as the year progressed on, I competed in a couple other pageants, but lost. And definitely that taught me a lot about myself and how to, like, really update myself. And, you know, don't just stick to the same critiques. And even though if you have a good pageant package, don't keep using it. It's good to constantly update yourself and keep fresh for people who watch you. Because if you do the same talent, you know, it can win you a few pageants. But after that, people are like, I've seen this. I've seen this many of times. I'm bored. I'm over this. I've seen you do this many of times. Give me something new. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, so like with like losing, I think that's a key thing there is like with failure, you learn a lot. And it's not always bad if you fail at something because you're learning something in that process.
Absolutely. For Sweetheart was actually my first pageant, Sweetheart in Asheville, and that was in February of 2020. That was probably my first pageant that I had lost. Yeah, that was my first pageant that I had completely lost. And it really taught me a lot about myself because I was used to winning. That's awful to say, but I'm very happy that I've grown into a better person. But I was used to winning, and I was like, why didn't I win? The past three pageants I've competed in, why haven't I won? So I kind of like broke that like stream record that I had of myself. And it really, really put me in a really depressed place. But I had to tell myself, no, just because you lost doesn't mean you've lost everything. You need to take these critiques. You need to apply them to yourself. You need to make them better. And now as I look back on the package that I had for that pageant, I'm like, girl, no wonder you lost. Girl, sit down.
So, do you ever think
Mama Jackie's voice in the back of your head?
Yep.
Is that your drag mother?
Yes, Jacqueline St. James, the Tennessee legend. She is a former U.S. of A. One of my like top number one drag inspirations. I was very, very blessed for her to ask me to be her drag daughter. And I have actually learned a lot from her, thankfully. Good old Jacqueline St. James, Jacqueline Presley Grizzle. If you've been to a drag show in Tennessee in the past 10 years, yeah, you have probably seen Jacqueline St. James.
Yeah, I've seen her a few times. We always come down there with Jen and Jackie.
Yep, good old Jackie. She loves to twirl and spin and kick. I'm telling you, that woman, she gonna kill me for saying this. For her age, she can still move like she was in her 20s. Like, I'm telling you, that woman is everything to me.
She moves like Mick Jagger?
Oh, yeah, she's moving like Mick Jagger. She gonna smack my, she gonna smack snot out of me when she says, when she hears me say for her age. Oh, my God. She gonna smack me to death.
So do you think that you will ever attempt to try out for RuPaul's Drag Race?
Honestly, I mean, I don't know personally. I mean, it's whatever she feels. But I really think that Jacqueline is part of such a, like, classic old school strand of drag. Jacqueline's been doing drag ever since the 90s. She is Miss 1993 Day USA. So she's been doing drag for almost 30 years. Well, straight up, yeah, almost 30 years. And I know that she's progressed a lot of times, that she still loves drag. She's still going to perform. She's not retiring anytime soon. But she's expressed a lot of times, she's like, I need a break. Because, I mean, after 30 years of going hard, like, I don't doubt it one bit. And if you think about the gay scene, like 20 years ago, there was no drag race.
Yeah.
There wasn't like huge amounts of like gay publicity. So if you wanted to see a drag queen, you had to go to the bar.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline was that drag queen in that in Tennessee. So she expressed to me, she was like, I had anywhere from like 2 to 6 shows a week. And sometimes those shows would be double. She was telling me one time when I was at her house, I was asking her, because I love for her to tell me old stories. She was talking about when she was in Atlanta, when she was 25, she will never forget it. She had a show at one bar at 8 o'clock. Then she had to travel across town and go to another bar and had a show at 10 o'clock. Then had to travel back to the first bar and had a show at 1 o'clock.
Damn.
I was like, whew. So I mean, after about like 20 years of going hard, I could see that she'd be a little tired. But Jackie is a firecracker. So I mean, if she was like, I'm auditioning for Drag Race, it wouldn't shock me one bit.
How about yourself? Do you ever think you will do it?
I've thought about it a few times. I'm really wanting to find myself and discover myself a lot more, and I'm really wanting to be a lot more confident within myself. Everybody's always like, oh, I'm this, mad. Oh, I'm this, I'm confident, I can slay it. But in all reality, every human being puts on a mask. No matter who you are, I do not care if you preach on an altar every Sunday or if you twirl your hind end off in a gay bar. Every human being puts on a mask. And I truly feel that for me to be able to go on Drag Race, I need to unlift that mask and be able to present my true, authentic, full self. And I'm taking my time and really still finding that person.
Yeah, you have to love yourself.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with more Kind of a Big Deal.
Let's take a second to talk about Xtina Paints. Christina Little is a member of the Kind fam. She's very close with Doug and I, and I'm sure she will get very close with Craig once she meets him. If you want to, you can support our friend Christina with her new endeavor, where she takes her beautiful art and places them on real cool products. You can go to Etsy.com/XtinaPaints. And that is XtinaPaints. You can also go to the Facebook page for Kind of a Big Deal podcast, and the link will be pinned right up at the top. So please support our friend Christina and purchase something from her awesome Etsy store today. Bye! Hey everybody, I'd like to take a second to talk about Midnight Alchemy. Midnight Alchemy is all natural products created by Miss Karen Jones. These products are amazing, and I have personally used her healing salve, her euphoria, which is a pain relieving balm, and her room spray, plus many other products that she has had. Every time she creates something, I have to give it a try. So you can find Midnight Alchemy products by going to Etsy.com and searching Midnight Alchemy LLC. You can follow her on Facebook at facebook.com/MidnightAlchemy423. You can also go to MillerParks.com to find any more information that you would like about it and connect with Karen right from the website. So, try these products out. They're great. Bye! After this. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Kind of a Big Deal podcast. We are hanging out with Miss Vandejaville. So we are going to actually open the floor and allow V to talk about her story and a little bit about her background.
Awesome. All right, great. So, well, just to like start off basic, my name that I go by on stage, Vandejaville, but then also my boy name is Hunter Isley. So I grew up in a small town in North Carolina. A lot of people call it like Reedsville/Eden. We grew up there. My mom and dad had got together, and he had pretty much swept her off her feet, moved her hundreds of miles away from my hometown. And up there was like strictly like my dad's family, and they quickly took my mother in, and like they were all honestly very family based. They were all very lovey. I had a very good family base growing up. Like, I've always had a good family base. But as time continued on, like I was saying, my mom had got really homesick. She got really, really sad, really, really depressed. And my dad seen it, and at the same time, he was like, okay, well, I hate seeing you like this. Let's take you home. So finally, they packed all the stuff up, grabbed me as a baby, got my sisters, and just said goodbye to my dad's side of the family. And they moved back to my mother's hometown, which is really where I say that I'm from now, 24/7. And it is called Lee County, Virginia. A lot of people, even in this area, have no earthly clue where that is. Just to give you a rough estimate, my graduating class was 30 people. It's that small. Okay. But yeah. So good old 30 people graduating class. So anyway, we moved there. My mom got settled in with my family, yada, yada. Then about 3 years later, my mom and dad fell on some hard times and they got a divorce. And me being young, I was really, really confused on, like, what was happening, especially, like, I'm so used to my dad being home and, like, my mom being home 24/7. And then now it's just nothing. Because then it was just pretty much me and my sister, and then my dad would occasionally take care of us. But me and my sister, Shauna, it was pretty much just, like, strict us for a while. But as time continued on, got into school, got all that figured out. My mom has been a nurse for 30 years. She worked in Kingsport at the time, and from Lee County, Virginia to Kingsport is about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. So my mom drove that every single day, being a single mother, and would work from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. So, like, my mother would literally get, like, 3 and 4 hours of sleep a night and then go back to work. I mean, being a single mother, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. And, like, I love my mother so much. Like, my mother is, like, my tried and true. I don't know what I would do without her. But, yeah, then as I started to, like, break into high school and stuff and, like, younger, like, elementary school, that's when I started, like, feeling a little different. I was like, okay, so what's happening with this body? You know, you start going through pre-puberty, you know, you start going through, like, the classic things that, like, all young gay people go through. Then I was like, okay. So then as I started breaching right into high school, I was like, okay, something is not right. Like, a lot of people are always like, I knew I was gay whenever I was little. I didn't. I had no clue. I never really considered myself super duper different. I was always like, this is, I'm just not normal. Something just ain't right. You know? Then as time progressed on, I realized that, like, oh, well, I like boys also. I might be gay. So then high school happened. Then, let's see. It's a lot to remember. It's been a while.
And, girl, you're still young.
Yeah, I know. A lot happened in this crazy old head. I'm telling you. It makes you want to beat your head against the wall a few times. But yeah, then it's like I said, as time was in high school, I realized that I was gay and I was like, okay, I need to get out of here. I was bullied in high school. Not mercilessly, but like people were always just the classic F slang word. People would just always say stuff to me as they were going by in the hallway. I had thick skin, but at the same time, like I had thick skin on the outside, but mentally it would eat away at me, you know, like everybody, you know. So then as soon as I turned 18 and graduated high school, very, very thankful, very, very blessed, very lucky, especially very, very lucky at that time in my life, graduated high school. My friend at the time, Austin Rigdon, he was like, hey, I have a room here in Johnson City. Would you possibly like to come? And I was like, sure, why not? So it, 18 month after I graduated high school, my mom was like, you're leaving, like right now. Because I didn't have any plans to go to college. I had come to the conclusion in school that college just wasn't for me. College just wasn't for me at all. There was nothing I wanted to do. I always said, why should I go $80,000 to $150,000 in debt for something that I don't want to do and I don't want to pursue with my life? You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
No, I do, yeah.
Amen.
So, like, you have all those teachers that they're like, you need to go to do this, you need to go do that. And, like, I just feel that, like, out of high school, a lot of people are pushed into, like, you need to go to college, you need to do this, you need to have your life plan. Like, people nowadays expect you to know what you're going to do with your life at the age of 18.
Yeah, that doesn't always work.
Exactly. Who, like, unless you are a genius, who right now could look back on themselves at 18 years old and say, this is exactly what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. The choices you made when you were 18 years old, for you to go back right now and say, these are what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life, they are completely different and completely altered, and we laugh at our 18-year-old selves about what we said that we're going to do. It's completely different.
I didn't even know what kind of toilet paper I preferred back then, let alone what I was going to do with my life.
Girl, same. I didn't even know what underwear I wanted to wear. I said, ooh, this one's silky. This one's soft.
I had to get rid of all the underwear my mom put my name on.
Right. Good old hole in the crotch, like always. Anyway, like I said, I graduated high school, moved to Johnson City with my friend Austin, and I had knew that New Beginnings had a talent night on Wednesday night. So I was like, you know what? That's the ticket. That's where I need to start at. So I started going to New Beginnings every single Wednesday for months and months and months, and I just started performing, and I just started like doing the talent show. Good old Andrea Montrose was the judge at the time, and she constantly always gave me feedback, nonstop, always gave me feedback, because she could tell that I was hungry for knowledge. She could really, really tell that I wanted to do better and that I really, really, like, wanted, like, that update. I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be garbage.
You didn't want to be a baby queen when you were a baby queen.
Exactly. I didn't want to be a baby queen. I've always said one of my biggest downfalls in life is that, like, I've always spent my life wanting to grow up. Like, I've really shied myself away throughout life and not enjoyed being young, if that makes sense. Instead of like basking in that youthfulness, it's always like, oh God, I can't wait till I have my own apartment. I can't wait till I have my own car. Oh, I can't wait till I know. Like, I always, always, always wanted to grow up. And then like now I look back on that and I'm like, I really wish I would have just enjoyed life. I really wish
I wish I would have liked that toy truck a little bit more.
Right.
That is so accurate though, because like I do the same thing. I was like, when I was younger, I just wanted to grow up and I just wanted to have my own place and I wanted to have these things to myself. And now that I have all that, I'm like, can I just be a kid again?
Right. And I mean, that's, it's just a sad, sad fact of life, because, you know, when people say it flashes before you before your eyes, and it legitimately does. Life flashes before your eyes. And when you look back, you're like, whoa, that's gone.
Everyone that was older that would tell me that, they were right.
Literally, like, enjoy being young while you can. But, so yeah, Wednesday night started, Andrea started really, really helping me out. I went over to, like, her house and Faitreana Evans' house. I went over to their house a lot. And they really, really, like, helped upgrade me. They really, really helped, like, hey, girl, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that song. That song's not for you. You can't keep up with that song. You need to do this song. And they, like, really helped sculpt me and, like, really gave me that good base. Because Johnson City is, like, known for, like, your old school pageant drag. So they really, like, scraped me clean and gave me that, like, blueprint. And they said, now make it you.
Hmm.
Make it yourself. Find that inspiration. But here's your blueprint. You know what to do. Be yourself now.
Yes, queen.
So, yeah, anyways, so then it's time continued on. Michael Trivett messaged Michael Trivett, and at the time, he is the owner of New Beginnings, and I was like, hey, you know, I was wondering, like, do you have any, like, spots available on the weekends? And he was like, well, I do have a Friday night cameo if you would like it next weekend. And immediately, dead, dying. I was so excited. I literally was like a chihuahua running in circles. It was crazy. Like, it was my first Friday ever. Like, it was my first, like, I finally felt successful.
It was your first big night.
Exactly. Like, every single time. Like, ugh. So anyway, I remember I...
If we come down for Halloween this year, y'all gonna remake Hocus Pocus?
Hopefully, this past year, like this past Halloween, they had a Hocus Pocus production that was absolutely phenomenal. The characters looked just like Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy and Jim. Honey, they looked exactly like it. I Put a Spell on You was sickening.
Yeah, I wish we would do that more often.
Yeah, it was. I really,
it would be fun.
Yeah, I really wish we could, like, expand it out more. I want to talk to him and maybe get some new stuff flowing in this year. Maybe try to get a few creative strands in there, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I'd like to see, like a Broadway production. Like, I'd like to see drag queens do something like that.
Shockingly, that is possibly in the works.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we actually talked about that about a week ago. That is in the works. We have not discussed that with Michael yet, but I mean, we're definitely working and trying to figure out the kinks before we present the idea. Because, I mean, it's something new. It's something fresh. The bar hasn't seen it a million times. So we're really trying to, like, give that update this year, and I really, really want to focus on that.
Oh, that would be awesome. You got to share when it is so we can come into town and see that.
Please, that would be fantastic. he had messaged me. Sorry, getting back on topic. My ADD self. But literally, I'm like, squirrel! But got to that Friday, and boo-boo, I was a hot mess the whole night. I still have videos from my very first night of performing on a Friday night. Like, I still have the videos. Hot mess. My first number was Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. My second number was I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, I like Pithers.
And then my third number was I believe Power by Little Mix. And then my fourth was We Belong Together by Mariah Carey. Here in Jump City, girl, we do two shows and we do two numbers each. Girl, it's a long night down this way.
That's a lot. Every time we come down there, I'm like amazed at how much footage I get to record.
Yeah, it's a lot. Girl, shows at 11 and 1:30. And I'm telling you, we are crawling out of there like the Walking Dead afterwards.
It's a long night. It is a long night.
It is a long night. I really wish we could get like the shows a little earlier, but I mean.
So you have a boyfriend?
Like,
are you in a relationship at all?
Yes, I am. I am with my partner, Bree Brohard.
Okay,
Bree. Very, very blessed. Yes, we just celebrated our 1 year back on December 3rd.
Awesome.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, that's literally like, probably like, I would have to say like, even at a young age, like my true love. Like, I'm truly nobody on this earth. Like, everybody always says, oh my God, nobody understands me like you. Like, everybody said that once in your life. But when you say that to the right person and your heart says it and not your mouth, it truly means something, if that makes sense, you know?
It does.
It's so, hard,
but I it's really, really, have, girl.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to find. But I was very, very blessed. And, like I was saying, like, I truly feel that no one understands me like him. He knows me like the back of his hand. He always tells me that he can tell my entire day. He can tell what mood I'm in. He can tell the day I've had. He can literally just tell everything about me through my eyes. He says, I can look at your eyes and I can tell everything that's wrong with you. And it takes a good, strong person to be able to do that and to be able to hold you and just fix all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you were talking about doing all those shows and crawling home, I was just making sure you had somebody that rub your feet every night.
No, he will not touch my feet.
Thinking.
Here's the thing, is that if I was like, hey, would you massage my feet? He'd be like, you better go shower. You better go wash and exfoliate them dogs.
Them hooves.
Honey, I'm telling you, as a drag queen, I am not like Miss Gianna Lux. I do not have a feminine body. I have
with the padded and titties, you do.
Girl, exactly. Like, I am literally a cereal box out of drag. But like, wow. I am a cereal box out of drag. But like, in drag, I literally, like, I wear huge hip pads. I wear huge breasts. I wear big hair, and, like, I always, like, shove my feet in, like, shoes that I really probably shouldn't be shoving my feet in because they're kind of small and not good for your feet, but beauty's pain. But anyways, I wear about 6 layers of tights, and especially with my feet, to keep those hip pads up. Those tights, like, constantly compress my feet, and with my feet being in high heels, so especially whenever he's like, girl, you gonna massage my feet? And he's like, no, you better go on. Don't bring them things near me. You better.
And pantyhose are almost worse than high heels. I mean, not all the time, but sometimes.
Especially when you've got them pulled a little too tight and they're squeezing that pinky toe and you just want to scream, honey.
And then when you're gonna take them off at the end of the night, it's just like so pressure.
Yeah, nobody really knows what goes into being a drag queen other than a drag queen and their partners, you know, because I didn't know that all that was involved. I knew there was padding and stuff like that, but I didn't know 6 layers of tights were involved. How do you even breathe?
You don't.
Is there blood flow?
You wait 4 hours until you are done.
That's why every time G comes out to talk to us, she's like, can somebody give me a liquid IV?
Sit down.
When most drag queens, like, if people are always, whatever you, like, when you're in a bar, people are always, like, want to search out the drag queen. So whenever people find the drag queen, if you notice, that drag queen has always got a cigarette a drink, a cigarette or a drink in her hand. And that drink or that cigarette is helping cope with the pain that we're in. Drag is not comfortable. And people always think, you know, oh, you're a drag queen. Oh, so you just wear heels, makeup, and a wig. No.
Yeah.
No.
No. Chicken boo-boo.
Literally, my body process, my makeup, it takes me about an hour and a half to get makeup. And then once I get to the bar, I have to put my hip pads on, and then that's 6 layers of tights. So that's literally 3 inches of foam on each of my hips, 6 layers of dance tights that go all the way up to my chest. Then I put on a breastplate that looks like actual cleavage. I wear a bra, and then I put on a corset. And then I tie that corset in to give myself a feminine body look. Then I put a wig cap on, and then I duct tape my head tight to keep my wig from flying off. Then I got to glue all those press-on nails. Then I got to put those earrings on and glue those and rip the skin off my ear. Because those earrings hurt like a mofo.
Yeah, especially when you're dancing and twirling.
Then you got to put those heels on. And then you got to put that costume on that you know that you gained weight since you bought that costume. But, honey, that costume's fabulous. You're going to say, I'm going to make my big honey and fit in this thing.
Yeah. 6 inches of hips.
Right.
So, speaking of doing your makeup and everything, I've watched your lives on Facebook a few times. And, like, those are the best things to watch, especially for, like, aspiring drag queens and stuff like that. And I know I've asked you questions a time or two on the products you were using. So what's the purpose for you of doing the lives?
The purpose of me doing the lives, a big part of my drag is really reaching out and communicating with people. I was asked one time, someone goes, so let's say that you just walked out on stage, performed your number, and left. A drag queen right after you walks out, performed her number, and left. What is the difference between you and that drag queen that came out after you? I always say the difference between me and that other drag queen is I like to form a connection with people. I don't like for people to sit down and watch me. I don't like for people just to be like, oh, and just in quiet. No, I want to see a smile on your face. I want to see, like, I want to have that contact with you. I want, like, even people who tip me, I always make eye contact with them to show, of course, like, hey, I'm appreciative that you're giving me your money, but also I want you to feel whatever song that I'm performing through me. So a big part of those lives is connecting with people and allowing the people to, like, ask questions about the makeup process or ask questions about the show or drag. Because I think nowadays people just want to keep drag online and, like, keep drag, like, in the bar, be done with it, and go home. I really, 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 really like reaching out to people and them being able, from, like, the convenience of their home also, to be able to be like, hey, what's this? Well, here, I'll tell you what this is. What does this mean? I'll tell you what that means.
Yeah, I know a couple of times I've watched yours and I was asking you questions about the products you were using. And sometimes because I don't know what it's called, I call it weird names. And I, a couple other drag queens too, I've watched their lives. And it is really cool to see the start and the finish product, because there is a lot that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people's favorite part of the makeup is the white that I put in, like, the center of my face to, like, bring my cheekbones out. Because, like, you know, if you want something to be, like, pulled forward, you make it lighter. If you want something to draw back, you make it darker. So I always put a lot of, like, white foundation in the center of my face to make my face look more feminine, make my cheekbones look bigger. People are always like, you look like a clown or you look like a ghost. And I'm like, you're right. You just got to give me time to get finished. Then I'm going to look correct.
Trust the process, boo-boo.
Trust the process, boo-boo.
Respect the process.
Yeah, you always got to respect that process. You can get looking this fly overnight.
When I first started, me and Gianna used to me and Jen used to bring our makeup together, and we would sit in her living room floor, and we would paint for bar nights, especially Wednesday nights when I first started, whenever me and Gianna became friends. We would literally sit in her living room floor and just paint and just go crazy and be like, ooh, let me use this. Ooh, here, you use this. Here, try this.
Good old days.
No memories.
Have drag queens ever, like, done one half of their face, one look, and one half the other? And, like, performed like that? You know, not like masculine or feminine, but just, like, both feminine sides, but just different looks.
I would definitely say I haven't seen it around here yet, but probably in this area it's probably been done before, but I know a lot of drag queens really like to do, like, the whole split look. I like whenever drag queens will do, for example, one eye is, like, this, like, brown smoky eye, and then, like, the other eye is, like, this electric blue smoky eye. So it's, like, obviously two different eyes, and it kind of messes with the eyes. It kind of, like, tricks the eyes a little bit, because that's what makeup is all about, is tricking the eye. And that's what it's all about. It's all about that clear skin, that contour, that highlight, that eyebrow. It's all about fooling you. So that's really, really cool about it. But yeah, people have definitely, like, done it, but I wouldn't say around here, because you have a lot of queens around here, especially in Johnson City. I can't speak for, like, Knoxville and stuff like that. But here in Johnson City, I would definitely say a lot of the drag is very, like, feminine essence, woman-based.
Woman.
Yeah. But we got a little alternative gal. We got Odessa Man. And, like, you know, you'll be sitting over there, like, I'll come in, like, in my version of what drag queens like to call painted. Like, if a drag queen is ever feeling her makeup, you'll always hear a drag queen go, oh, honey, I am painted tonight. That is when a drag queen is feeling her makeup, honey. And we all relate makeup to paint, because, I mean, you paint the house, you paint yourself. Mm-hmm. But I'll come in with my version of painted, to where I'm like, I've got a big old eyebrow on, I've got a huge cut crease, I've got glitter, I've got big old red lips on. And, like, Odessa Man is her name, she comes in and she has, like, this big, blown out, like, Kiss-inspired smoky eye that has, like, the black and the white and all, like, the smoke in the eyes. She's very alternative, and she does a lot of really cool things with her makeup that I couldn't even do. So definitely, if you're wanting that, like, different alternative version of makeup, I would definitely say Odessa is one of the only ones in this area who can really pull off and do that whole, like, half and half alternative look.
Hmm. Yeah, Odessa's makeup is amazing.
Yeah, it was just an idea in my head. I thought it'd be cool.
Yeah. Oop. But yeah, it's definitely a very fun experience, especially because, like, we all bring something different. And if we all looked the same, and if we all did the same thing, you know, it'd just be boring.
Yeah, that's true.
So embrace the weirdos around you and love everybody, no matter how different or how weird they look.
I just figured if I ever gave it a try, I could do something like that and call myself Gemini, you know?
Fun fact, I'm a Gemini.
Yes, it's Doug.
June 15th.
May 23rd.
Ah.
She's right there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm right there. 2 days.
Cusp and Taurus.
Silence. She didn't like that one. She was like, oh, hell no, bitch.
I actually think the phone had cut out. I actually didn't hear you. I'm sorry. What was that?
He's
Cusp and Taurus. I said you were Cusp and Taurus.
Oh, shit. Oh, excuse me.
And Tauruses.
Oh, yeah.
Run! I didn't mean to insult you.
No, you're not. Don't worry. You did not insult me whatsoever.
You don't get insulted very easily, I don't think.
No.
That was, like, the perfect timing, though, because he said it, and then it was, like, dead silence, and it was just so good.
Thank you for joining this podcast today. My name.
Oh, man.
That's awesome, though. So, Anybody else have any other questions
for Fantasia? Well, speaking of being crammed into all that stuff you're crammed into and losing blood circulation, have you ever fell down the steps or anything embarrassing?
Oh, honey.
Because there's some steps right there, and I always, every time I see the queens come down, I'm like, please don't fall, please don't fall. You know, but...
Oh, sorry. The funny thing about those steps, and that what a lot of people don't know, is those steps are very narrow. Those steps are very, very short, and I am in the famous words of Bob the Drag Queen, I'm an SLW. I am a very suspiciously large woman. So as I come down the steps, my feet, I wear a 12 wide in heels. So my feet are very, very large. And so as I come down the steps, like literally my heel is like half off of those steps. But I thankfully got a science to like when I come out, I just like walk down the stairs and like the same algorithm, like the same rhythm that I always do. So I've been very blessed. I haven't fell down the stairs yet. Yet. I haven't fell down them yet. But I have had my plenty of nights where I have fell and busted my face in front of a full house on the floor. I've tripped. My hair's come off. You're not a true drag queen until you experience those. And the type of entertainer you are is how you recover from those. You know, some girl, I'm the type of person, like, if my wig comes, because like I said, I duct tape my head. So if I'm on stage and my wig flies off, or if I, like, let's say that I trip, and the whole crowd, you're going to create that, like, oh, shit vibe for the audience.
No, you can say whatever you want.
Excuse me, I am cussing. I should not be cussing.
Fuck.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's all.
You're gonna create. If you like make a mistake on stage, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, if you make a mistake on stage, immediately the whole like unless it's very noticeable, the crowd won't know unless it's like a fall or your hair comes off. Obviously, when you fall and that wig comes off, you're immediately going to create like a oh snap moment, like oh shit, oh no, she fell, or oh my god, her wig just come off. And also everybody has a cell phone nowadays, so you're probably on video doing this. So how I recover is I'm like, okay, what? And I'll sit there and I have to get up, I have to laugh it off, because if you laugh with the audience, it creates, it lifts that negative vibe that automatically just happened. So I will immediately laugh it off. I get up, and, like, if my hair come off, I'm going to rip my duct tape off my head, and I'm going to dance for you even harder.
Amen.
And if I fall, I'm going to get up, I'm going to laugh, and I'm going to go, okay, Covey, let's replay that music. And I'm going to go even harder. It's all how you recover and all how you develop that connection and that relationship with the audience.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of, it's even the audiences, it's all about your recovery. It's all about how you respond to it, and they'll respond back. And that's something that's not easily to learn, for me anyway.
Exactly. Like if a girl, like, if her wig comes off, and she's like, oh my god, and she runs off stage, I'm like, girl, her wig come off. Girl, are you for real?
You better grab a hold of that duct tape and pull.
Like, your wig come off on stage, and you ran off stage. Are you for real? See, like, to me, like, that would be, like, that. But, like, if a girl's hair come off and she used her stage presence to recover and make you forget that her wig came off, to me, that's a true entertainer.
Or just play into it, too. Like, sometimes you have to play into what happens. Like, if you fall, roll on your back and just start humping the air.
Oh my god, Odessa Mann, fun fact, Odessa Mann was in a Scandals one night, and her shoes had come off. Her shoes had come off, and I think she, like, messed up her ankle, and honey, that girl did not stop one beat in that song. Her shoes were, like, her shoes were strapped around her feet, and they were flinging like crazy when she was performing, but she did not stop for 1 second, and that crowd cheered and lived for her.
I have seen that girl, well, not seen, but I've heard her talk about and seen her get hurt. And she just keep going. She doesn't, it doesn't break her. It doesn't stop her. She just works through it. And well, that is a true entertainer. The show must go on.
Show must go on.
You know what else gets me is when those queens jump off the steps and do a full split. I'm like, the first thing I think about is, oh my God, their balls must be amazingly hurt right now.
Well, the thing about it is that they're already in so much pain. Just a little more ain't gonna make a difference. One of my main taglines that I always say on stage when I'm talking is when I'm trying to get the crowd hype, I'm like, I need a little bit more noise. How y'all doing tonight? Yada, yada. And I'm like, oh, I know y'all can do better than that. I've got duct tape in places you couldn't even imagine. I need a little bit more noise. How y'all doing? So.
Well, I want our listeners to know this because I want people to really appreciate the drag that they're seeing when they're there, because I know I will be next time. I'll definitely be appreciating it.
Aw, thank you.
You know, and I'll definitely be walking up to y'all with some drinks in my hand, like, look here, to numb that pain a little bit. I got my bullets packed. You're welcome to hit that. I got some mushrooms in the car. I'll bring them in too.
Okay. Hey, hold on now. I am down. Your girl is very psychedelic and 420 here.
Very shroom friendly.
Amen. But at the same time, drag is painful. Drag, you know, drag is very hard. But you're like, a lot of people are like, well, then why do you do it? The key word that I always want everybody to remember, or the key sentence, really. Drag is also fun. Drag is mesmerizing. Drag is fantasy. Drag is your own creation. Drag is everything that you create portrayed on stage. You get to take credit for it. Yeah.
And at the same time, if you're putting yourself through that pain, you have to really love it. You know, it has to be rewarding. It does.
Exactly. So, yeah. So there's a negativeness to drag when it comes to the feeling, but when you're on stage, the confidence and the happiness that it can bring you, even though your ribcage hurts a little bit, you're still on top of the world. And that's why to this day, I'm always going to do drag. Honey, I'll be on stage in a wheelchair before I'm quit.
Oh, Lord.
What's amazing is I find that, like, there's, like, RuPaul really does a good job at showing the competition aspect of drag, but doesn't really show the work that it takes that goes into everything behind the scenes.
Yeah. He shows, I would definitely say on Drag Race, they show a little bit of what it takes, but the sad thing about it is, well, Eureka O'Hara, some people don't know, but Eureka O'Hara is actually my drag sister. That is Jacqueline St. James's daughter. Are we familiar with season 11? Yeah, season 9, season 10.
Yeah, I know who Eureka is.
Yeah, she's actually my drag sister. She's Jacqueline St. James's daughter. As I was talking to one of Eureka's daughters, Anatomical, she was telling me that those girls literally have 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah,
you get the phone call like, hey, congratulations, you made it on RuPaul's Drag Race. Fantastic. You have 2 weeks from this day to get.
Well, you're also limited. Like, I heard that they'll let you know what genres are going to be done, but you are very limited on the outfits you can bring.
You are allowed to bring 4 suitcases.
Oh.
You are allowed to bring 4 suitcases to Drag Race. That is all you're allowed.
For 14 episodes, that is not enough.
I have 4 suitcases just for my regular clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, straight up, you are allowed to bring 4 suitcases strictly to Drag Race, and you leave with those exact 4. Like, you have to fit all of those maxi challenge and those mini challenges, wigs, hair, jewelry, shoes, in that suitcase.
That's insane.
Crazy. Yeah, but welcome to drag, even though it's all fun and dandy, that's when it gets crazy. It's an art form. It's an art form.
Yeah, it truly is.
The show would have to be vacuum sealed.
Yep.
All right, so this is where we're going to wrap up the episode. So thank you so much, Vandasia, for being on with us. We would love to have you back for Pridecast 21 if you would love to join.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll get that scheduled. So from Doug, Craig, and myself, we really appreciate having you on, and it's been a blast. So until next time, you can follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/KOABDpod. Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at KOABDpod. So until next time, stay true, hug someone.